scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass, it left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla in a left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Al Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
Okay, it is Friday, July 4th. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Thanks for being with us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Steinberg along with you. We welcome you to the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe with wireless keypad solutions so you can control access to your home wherever you are. For more information, visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. It's a Friday. It's been too long. Last Friday was round one of the NHL draft. This gentleman and I were in the same building. We were 10 feet apart, but we were not together on our regular hour on Flames Talk. And then the 2 weeks prior, Flames Talk was on a hiatus. So it's a reuniting of Eric Francis and Flames Talk. Eric joins us now from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca for the next hour here on Flames Talk. Hello, EF. How we doing, pal?
I'm great, my man. Happy Stampede. My favorite time of year.
Happy First Friday.
That's right. The city is abuzz. I got going at it early yesterday with the Cowboys poker tournament, charity poker tournament.
Did you keep John Abbott? Did you keep him on the rails?
I kept him on the rails. Okay. It's his first time. It's fun to watch through the eyes of a newbie. And he just loved every minute of it. And then we went to that tent, that new tent over there, boy. 14,000 people. It is something to see. There are a lot of great tents. The Wild Horse, there's so many great places to go, the Badlands, but that one there, that's the biggest we've ever seen in Calgary. Boy, it's like a small city. I'll tell you what, it was great to be there last night. And Stampede even started last night, and there were 14,000 people there. It's crazy.
Did you take in Abs's eyes as he experienced this for the? Everybody, if you've never stampeded with a Calgarian who knows how to stampede, I think a lot of people from outside are like, oh, it's just like a fair and some rodeo and like you do some horses and stuff like that. Like, no. It's you need to actually experience what the city's like for those 10 days. And anytime you show somebody through, like with somebody who has stampeded and a true veteran of what happens, that's when you really get the eye-opening experience.
Yeah. And I remember when I did my first stampede, I had no idea what to expect. And it ended up turning out nowhere near like what I thought it was going to be.
We you created have to a monster.
Well, it's just the attitude of the whole city. I've always said this, this is my 30th stampede. God, I'm old. But, I've never seen a fight in Stampede. I'm not saying they don't happen, but, people are way more apt to, spill a drink on a guy and say, hey, man, let me buy you some shooters for you and your friends. Like, it's everyone's just got the right attitude. It's a ton of fun. Nothing makes me prouder than Stampede. There's absolutely no question about that. I'm going to Bull Busted tonight. I got the Chucks tomorrow. I got the Rodeo Monday. Like, I do it all, and I love it all, and all those tents that we mentioned earlier, I'll be at all those too. I can't get enough of Stampede. There was one year, I think every Calgarian feels this after a certain amount of time. I'm done. I'm not going. I'm heading to the lake or something. I'm getting out of town. But the very next year you come back, you're like, man, I'm not missing another Stampede. I love this thing.
Well, right now, Rasmus Anderson is not here. He is not stampeding. He's back in Sweden right now after winning a silver medal with Sweden at the World Championship. But he is, even though he's not in town, he is the biggest story when it comes to Flames fans and around the Flames right now. And there's been other stories, what does Connor Zary's contract look like? What do we think of Morgan Frost's deal? What do we think of Kevin Ball's 6-year extension? What about two new centers drafted in the first round? Like, there's a lot of interesting Flames discussions to have, but I think right now if you were to ask a Flames fan, stop them in the street and say, what's the biggest story surrounding the Calgary Flames right now? They'd say Rasmus Anderson's future and how that's going to play out. And there's all kinds, EF, there's all kinds of information floating around right now, isn't there? Like there's insiders, you're getting different pieces of information from the insiders right now, and you're kind of trying to sift through it all and piece together, and everybody's trying to make their own opinion of it. And unfortunately, this is the day and age that we live in, but unfortunately, I don't think it does either side any favors right now. This, I don't think it does the Andersons camp a lot of favors in terms of public perception, fair or unfair. I think that has maybe started to turn against Raz, at least on social media over the last little bit. Based on what's happened the last week, I think it doesn't do any favors on the Flame side in terms of trying to maximize the value on a trade. We don't usually play a lot of audio when you and I are chatting, but I just want to go back. This is 60 seconds of Craig Conroy on Tuesday, the free agency day when he came and spoke to you and I and the rest of us at the Ed Whalen Media Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Answered a few questions on Rasmus, and one of them was, hey, have the Flames given Rasmus and his agent permission to speak to other teams? Here's just a little bit from Craig Conroy a few days ago.
No, we haven't. You know, and the one thing is, I know, you know, hey, Ras, like I said before, if he comes back and plays next year, you know, I think you've just seen it with teams. It's all the speculation. Is a guy going to sign? Is he not going to sign? Brock Besser just signed. I mean, you know, you see that all the time where guys go back. You think Gavrikov moves, but you also have a guy like Provorov who stayed. So there's so many... It's a long time until we get to that point, so I'm not stressed or feel pressure about it. And we actually need Rasmus to be here and be a good player for us.
If I can just circle back on Rasmus for a minute, there's lots of reports out there that he's picked one team that he wants to go and play for. Has he given you any indication of that?
No. You know, right now he's totally fine with playing for the Calgary Flames. That was the last conversation, and he's always said that. He's a Calgary Flame. You know, when he comes back in September, he'll say the same thing to you guys. I love it here. I'm a Calgary Flame. And that's the thing. I don't want to just, it's all the speculation. And that's, hey, everybody's got a job. Everyone's got to do it. But until something's done, nothing's done. And, you know, like I said, you've seen guys that have, maybe you think weren't going to re-sign with their team, and they did re-sign with their team. It happens every day.
So, Eric, there's a lot to dive into with all that we've heard, all the information, even there from the GM. What do we make of the current situation surrounding Rasmus Anderson right now?
You know, I'll start by saying, look, breakups are hard. And ultimately, that's what this is, right? I mean, this is a player in an organization that I think because of timelines have, you know, and we've seen this coming for 6 months or 3 months, 4 months, you know, they're just moving in different directions in terms of timelines and, you know, his age and where the Flames want to start to peak and who's coming up the roster and all these things. But it's a breakup. And you know, you can do it as amicably as you want, but as the breakup is kind of starting and the GM is shopping you around, there are going to be rumors, and it's going to start making people angry. Like you said, on both sides, you know, people have strong feelings on this all over town. And the one take that I vehemently disagree with, and I don't like, and I think it's very inaccurate, is that he's holding them ransom because he's only going to go to one team. I'm not disputing the fact that he may in his mind be saying, look, if I were to sign a year ahead of becoming UFA, only if I would ever consider doing that, this is the only team I could envision going to. And I'm just being honest, you know, he's just being honest with everyone involved, saying, and it sounds like that team is Vegas, so let's just not beat around the bush. Yeah. If that indeed is the case, then how could anybody criticize him or claim that he is holding the team hostage? The flip side is he just waits a year, gets traded as a rental, and has to go to one of the other 26 teams in the league because he only has a 6-team no trade. So he's just being honest. Like, why would anyone think that if anyone is listening and they're thinking, yeah, he shouldn't do that to the Flames, think about if it was you and you're thinking, well, just because the Flames may just be able to work out a deal with Minnesota, would that make me think, geez, yeah, maybe I should sign in Minnesota long term? I've never thought of it in my life, and I never ever dreamt I'd ever want to move to Minnesota. But man, if they're trading me there, I should probably think about signing there for 8 years of my life. No chance. So everybody needs to calm down the rhetoric and the criticism and the notion that he's holding them hostage. Yes, if he's going to go to more than one team, if he cited, I would go to one of four teams that I would consider signing long-term. And I do believe that was the case with Matthew Tkachuk. I think there were three teams that he said to them, I would consider signing long-term if they would have me. And that gives you a little bit of more of a buffer. But they can still trade him anywhere they want other than the six teams he's designated. And so he's not holding anybody hostage. He doesn't have the right to do that. Yes, they get less in return if he's basically a pure rental going to Minnesota, as opposed to if he's going for eight more years to the Vegas Golden Knights. So that's the only difference. And do you see it any other way? Like, do you think that I'm unwarranted in saying that that's unfair criticism?
No, I mean, I guess I can get it from a Flames standpoint, Flames fan standpoint, rather, where you're like, I don't know, he just talked about how, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, but I kind of put myself in the shoes of a fan, and like, you just hear Raz on Locker Cleanout Day talk about how much he's loved being a member of the Calgary Flames and wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And now all of a sudden, and this goes back to the reporting side of it, because this day and age with so much leaking and so much competition between the insiders, that you know, this information gets out and then everybody starts making their own opinion of the situation without knowing all of the facts, but hearing from the insiders. And so I think it makes it tough for a player in a lot of these situations, because I get it. You're like, well, why aren't you just letting us trade you wherever? If you love the city and you love the Flames so much, let us get the best return. And I can understand that, but at the same time, I love the way you put it. I never even thought about it this way. But breakups are hard. And the way I was thinking about it is like, sometimes business doesn't care about sentimentality. And that's kind of where I'm at in the whole situation, is sometimes you got to kick sentimentality to the curb as the players' camp or the team's camp when it comes to actually negotiating and making the best decision in Rasmus's case for the player in his future, and in the team's case for what the return is going to be in a trade. And so I kind of read it the same way you are, in that I think Rasmus, right now, if you were to say, who would you sign with long-term, the team would be Vegas. But I don't think he has said, let's just use Minnesota. The team that I keep going back to is Dallas, because I know the Stars have been very interested in Rasmus for months, and have made overtures at different times. I just think he'd be such a perfect fit there for a team that's trying to win a Stanley Cup. So say either one of those teams, Minnesota, Dallas, or any other team that doesn't reside in Nevada. I don't think he said to a lot of these teams, no, there's no way I'm signing there. I think he said the only team that I'm comfortable committing to for the next 7-8 years is Vegas right now. And
that's right.
And let's see what happens. If I get traded to Dallas, I don't think he said, no, there's no way I'm signing there. He says, I'm not ready to sign there right now, because the rest of the equation that I think is really important is what Raz had to say on Locker Cleanout Day, where he said, look, I had a bad year. I was chewing on minuses. And so I think he would be willing to give up a little bit of the leverage to sign in a spot that everybody wants to be, including him, and that's Las Vegas. You get the tax breaks. You don't have the state tax. They'll pay you, and it's an incredible place to play and live. We get that. One of the two of us, I believe, is eyeing that area as one day to retire, for instance, right? Like, it's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. But yeah, that doesn't mean that if he gets traded to Dallas, he wouldn't sign there. I mean, hell, everybody wants to compare this to the Hanifin situation, which I don't think we're at yet on either side.
Nope.
And Hanifin wasn't ready to – when Hanifin got dealt to Vegas, he was not ready to sign there. It took a few weeks, and I know for a fact that Kelly McCrimmon was like, what are we, like, how, this guy hasn't signed yet. Like, this doesn't happen to us. Like, we've never had to, like, convince somebody to sign. Mark Stone signed immediately, and Mitch Marner signed immediately. I know the timelines are different, but, like, Noah Hanifin, he had to get there, get some time in the locker room, in the arena, in the city, and then he signed his 8-year extension. Like, who's to say that Rasmus gets traded to Dallas, then he signs? I mean, that could still very much happen. Problem is, and this is where I think the frustration lies for some Flames fans, is that, as you said, it does start to maybe interfere with the maximum value you could get for a player at this point.
that's what this is all about, really. There's two different types of trades, a rental and basically a sign and trade, like basically is what it kind of boils down to. And you know, there's one thing that I don't think anybody's ever thought about either, which is, okay. So what if he says, look, guys, at this point in time, like we're a year away. I can't decide where I would sign long term. I'm not committing to anybody except for Vegas. I've always liked it. I love Hanny, blah, blah, blah. I like to gamble, whatever. And he says, and then Vegas says, okay, great. And they work out the terms of what a deal would, a sign and trade or whatever would look like. Oh, but there's the sticking point. Vegas doesn't want to pay $9 million a year, which is, you know, allegedly what, you know, the ask is from the Anderson camp. And by the way, I don't have a problem with that number. There are going to be people who wince and go, what, are you kidding me? He was minus 38 last year, blah, blah, blah. This is a year from now. He's pitching his point. He's putting up his for sale sign at next year's prices. And he's also betting on himself that he'll have a better year statistically. So I don't have a problem with whatever number he wants to throw out there. Everyone in their right mind would ask for more than they're going to get, mm-hmm. or more than they even think they're worth. But Vegas might not even like that number too. They're like, oh, we would pay more than rental price to get him. Here are the prospects we'd give you. Here's a draft pick. But we can't come to terms on with Rasmus just yet. He wants $9 million a year times seven. We want to give him eight times seven. So there are so many variables. And in the meantime, his reputation to a degree twists in the wind. And I don't think that's fair, but that's life. You know, I mean, that's just life. There's going to be so much speculation. And like I said, when there's a breakup, there are starting to be bad feelings all around. It's not just the people who break up who start getting angry and upset and throwing accusations. It's their friends too, right? We've all seen this and been through this sort of stuff. So I get it. It'll get more and more emotional as we get closer to the trade deadline. But hey, I still don't buy for a second. And Craig threw that in there kind of slyly on Tuesday.
When
he gets here in September, he'll tell you guys the same thing. I'm proud to be a Flame. And I'm like, I get it. If I was a GM, I'd do that too, because it buys you as much time as possible. And he isn't up against any deadline. But I still think this gets done this winter. I really do.
This summer, you mean?
Or this summer, I mean, yeah, sorry.
I don't like that. No, not correcting. I just wanted to make sure that
you know. No, I appreciate it. Yeah.
And here's where it gets really interesting. I think on both sides, because I would imagine Rass is pretty pissed off about the way the narrative has spun. I would imagine just knowing who he is. And I really do take the guy for face value, what he said on Locker Cleanout Day. I really do. And I think he was grateful to be drafted by the Flames. I think he was grateful for the way they developed him and some of the things that they helped him get better as a player in. I think he's grateful for the 6-year contract they offered him going back to 2019. I really do think that he was face value for everything that he said on Locker Cleanout Day. So knowing that, now seeing the narrative turn and having some people be like, oh, this guy's a traitor, or this guy's not helping the team out, or why does he have to handcuff us, or in your words, hold us hostage. Some of the things that you're hearing on social media, I think that would probably upset a guy who, you know, really, I think, cares about his legacy in this city. And for the Flames, I think it's one of those situations where you're probably pissed off because, like, damn it, this stuff is getting out, and once again, it's handcuffing our leverage in trying to deal this guy, because now everybody thinks that the only team that's going to sign him is Vegas, and now, you know, everybody else is going to shy away because they don't think he's going to sign there. And so I think what's best for both sides at this point is to just let things cool down, like gear down, let it settle for a week or two, and then you can start to re-engage again, where maybe some, you know, cooler heads prevail and some of this stuff blows over. Because I do think, like, if you're the Flames, at this point, I don't think you can trade him to Vegas right now, because, A, I don't think Vegas has much to offer you that is going to be reflective of the type of player Raz is. And then the other thing is, I don't think you want to, perception-wise, look like you're quote-unquote, even though you and I don't necessarily think this is what would be happening, I don't think you want to quote-unquote give in to the player if you're the Flames. So I wonder if waiting a little bit and then re-engaging and talking to Dallas or talking to Minnesota or Carolina or any other team that you could find a real easy fit for Rasmus with and say, okay, let's see. Like, he might be a rental for you, but you need a right side defenseman, and he comes in at 4.55 or whatever it is, and we can eat half of that maybe. And so now you're getting a guy at under $3 million who can be a top four guy on your right side, and then make that trade and go from there. And because Vegas has so little to offer in terms of assets right now, I just wonder if that might be the best way to go about this. And maybe you get a similar return from a rental team as you might get from Vegas with an 8-year extension already signed.
Yeah, fair enough. And, you know, all the hockey talk starts to quiet down. All the insiders literally are on holiday starting yesterday. And so the rumors you're not going to see flying around as much anymore. Keep it quiet. And, you know, but I think the fact that there's so much noise right now speaks to, you know, my theory that you just don't want to enter the season with this being a distraction. And you know, I don't care how much Craig denies it and says he's going to be a good soldier and it's not going to be a distraction. I believe he'll be a good soldier, yes, but he'll be looked at differently in that room as someone with one foot out the door. And no matter how much everybody tries to pretend everything's fine, it's not fine and it's not normal. And it's going to hurt that dressing room. And that was their strength last year as a team. They had a rock-solid dressing room that propelled them to one of the most unlikely playoff challenges, you know, that we've seen in a while. So I just don't buy the argument that this won't be a massive distraction that they can just gloss over. They need to deal with this before the season starts. But, you know, the GM has different thoughts, and we'll see. I still think he'll get it done before, you know, before this, the fall.
And are you with me when, like, that was more than calculated. That was more than subtle, from Craig Conroy when he dropped the "when he's back" like that. That was,
yeah.
I think that's him again trying to take some of the leverage that has been lost back a little bit. Like, hey,
yes,
we're willing to take this thing into September and beyond.
It was a very smart move because it just says to all the other teams too, okay, well, you guys think you're going to get them soon or you think we're close. And I'm just telling you, we're bringing them back and all bets are off right now. So that's the way you have to play it. It's the way you should play it. He played it well. And, you know, it's just not going to go away. It's not going to go away. And I was talking to Bruce Boudreau of all people earlier today on a Sirius XM or whatever. And he asked me, Eric, can I just ask you a question? Why don't you just sign him? He's a really good defenseman. He's fourth in block shots, as you said. And he went and he just basically read the kid's resume and how good Anderson's been. And I said, yeah, it's funny you ask because from afar, people are probably saying, why don't you just sign him? But as their money exchange made very clear, they're on two completely different pages in terms of what the ask is, what the offer is, what the term is, and where the Calgary Flames are at in their evolution and where Rasmus is at in his career. So, you know, I thought it was interesting that he asked that question because sometimes you stop and you say, wow, maybe they should resign. And listen, let me throw this at you. I just thought of this the other day, and I thought Noah Hanifin came into that last season of his with every intention of, well, I don't know. I think he was on the fence and he could have gone either way. But I do think at one point he was definitely going to leave. But then the team had a really good little – they had the bad start, and that halted any talks. But I just wonder if there's any chance if this team got off to a great start and everything was hunky-dory here, and Rasmus knew, you know, he loved it and he played such a big role in this team, if there was any chance he would reconsider and or the Flames would reconsider and say, no, he's too important. Do you see that being – at all a possibility? Because I guess all I'm saying is originally I totally discounted that as being a possibility, but he's not unhappy here. That's for sure. Like, he likes it here. I just wonder if there's any chance that a good start could convince him to stay. And listen, I've seen a sneak peek of the schedule, and they have a murderer's row to open the season next year. I can tell you that. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's going to be quite daunting. And I'm so it'd be tough to get off to a really good start if you're the Flames, But what if? Is that something that you would think would be possible?
I would say, and I would say I'm skeptical. And the only reason I would say that is because I still think fundamentally there's a little bit of a divide because I'm not sure the Flames are willing to go the 8 years. Unless the Anderson camp was willing to maybe drop it down a little bit under 8. Like, if all of a sudden we could be talking about a 6-year deal, then I think that there is still a possibility that maybe the two sides could reconsider. I'm not certain if the Anderson camp is ready to drop their term. And I think that would be the only thing that would keep me in the skeptics camp on that one.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, because that is probably where the biggest sticking point is. I mean, obviously there's quite a divide between the offer money-wise, but when you add up the extra 2 years, no matter what the price tag is, if he could potentially lose 2 full years of salary in his mind, that's significant, and you're not going to be able to make that up with the dollar figure. So, yeah, players who are this close to unrestricted free agency, I'm always shocked that when they do sign early. I don't understand it. I would wait till the very last minute if I was them. But everyone's different. Everyone's situation is different. And another factor in all this, don't forget, is that Rasmus Anderson's already got – he's already been paid. He's already got, you know, money that'll set his family up for generations to come. This is his second big, you know, big payoff. And I often think there's a big difference between the two. You know, like if a guy's never been paid and there's all this money being offered, it's guaranteed. You know, sometimes I can understand them taking it early because that's life altering right there. But yeah, this is his second go around, so he can afford to take his time.
Yep. Well, we will see where that and I one thing that I do agree with on that I think is really important that you said there as well. Whether the Flames do take it to September, how willing the Flames are, and I believe that they are willing to take it to September. I'm with you that it still behooves them to get this done this summer. I think it's best for all parties involved to get this done this summer. Team's success in building on last year and for Raz as well to be able to start figuring out what's next for him and starting to get a lay of the land of wherever he's going to be next. So I'm with you on that front. Okay, it's Eric Fran. Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah. We got lots of time.
I was just going to add, and I've said this before, but it really reminds me so much of the Markstrom situation. You know, there was a chance that Markstrom was going to come back the following year. Remember, even though there were some bad feelings and all that, and I guess in retrospect, it was silly to think he might come back and start the season. But rip that Band-Aid off, get him out. That was different because there were some bad feelings. But it was very similar in that it not only rids the problem and the distraction, but it also opens the door up for that net. For one of the big reasons why this team is willing to walk away from Rasmus Anderson, which is opening up even more room for Parekh, Brustevich, Hughes, whoever. So, you know, move on, get to the next generation and get it going that way for everybody's sake.
He is Eric Francis on Twitter at Eric Francis. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is the Eric Francis Hour as we continue along on this Friday edition of Flames Talk. My name is Pat Steinberg, and this hour is coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Steinberg and Eric Francis with you. It's the Eric Francis Hour on Flames Talk. Francis, lots has transpired in the last week for the Flames. Lots to get into. How about we start with two centers in the first round? A week ago, we didn't get to do the Eric Francis Hour because the first round of the NHL draft was just about ready to go. But the Flames take Cole Reschny at 18 and Cullen Potter at 32 and kind of did exactly what they needed to do. They needed to get at least one center with their first round picks, and they did. And that's super important, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, again, Craig Conroy was paying lip service going into the draft saying, hey, if it's our turn to pick and our best guy on the list is a defenseman, we'll take a defenseman. Look, you have to say that. Every GM in the league says it. It's a bunch of bull this year because there was no way they were walking away from that draft without at least a couple centers. They got two in the first round, which is great. They got two more later. I think that's a big win for them in a lot of ways. And talking to Ray Edwards the other day, their director of player personnel, like, look, he's giddy about all his prospects and he's never going to say otherwise, but you could just see when we spoke of Cullen Potter, he said, like, in every category, like 10 out of 10, except for size. But he's like, at this kid's vision, the IQ, the speed, the, you know, the hockey sense, you know, the bloodlines, like everything. He just raves about both of them. He thinks that the world of the both and has such high hopes for both. And I think people are excited in the marketplace just based on what they've read and heard about those two guys. And it goes deeper than that. I mean, the big defenseman, Maceo, that is
Maceo Phillips.
Maceo Phillips. Yeah. I mean, that he looked good the other day, down at development camp. Like, he is a monster out there, obviously. And, seems pretty poised, and boy, what a delightful personality he has too. So, I think, look, I've never claimed to be a draft expert, but you do read around the league and the winners and the losers, who drafted well, who didn't. And while every team leaves saying that it was a great draft, you know, the experts tend to, you know, kind of pick and choose who did better than the others. And by all accounts, the Flames did well. They addressed the number one need in the organization. Hey, it's 3 or 4 years before any of those kids kind of poke their head up and make a difference, but it's a start. And they needed, look, if the last almost 2 years since they've been chasing a center, since Elias Lindholm left, if that wasn't enough of an indicator that, man, you have to develop your own centers, there's no other way to get them. If that wasn't enough of an example, then I don't know what was. So they saw the light. They got those guys in the organization, and anyone I've spoken to about Rashdy in particular absolutely raves about not just the player, but the character, the small town kid from Western Canada. Everything about him, except for the fact that he grew up an Oilers fan, really seems to check out and be something people in Calgary could be excited about.
Yep. Yeah. And he said immediately he's no longer an Oilers fan, so you don't have to worry about that anymore. Yeah. And we won't see them at training camp. They're both college players. So Reshny is off to the University of North Dakota after some time in Victoria. So he won't be at training camp. Neither will Cullen Potter as he goes back for his sophomore year at Arizona State. So it'll be, you know, we're still a few years away from these guys being able to impact the Flames right now. But still, it was really promising to see them take not one but two centers in the first round. What Kevin Ball, Morgan Frost, each sign extensions, very different looking extensions. One's a 6-year deal for Ball at $5.35 million. The other's a 2-year extension for Frost at $4.375 million. And yet, both of them fall very much into the range that I think a lot of us thought they were going to. I mean, the Flames had been thinking about, and I think the Ball camp was in the same wavelength. Like, it felt like all along, dating back to like December, that if they were going to do an extension, it was probably going to be in the 5-6 year range with Ball, and they get that done. And Frost, as his time with the Flames rolled along, it just, we don't know what he is right now, and as a result, it feels like a 2-year bridge is the thing that makes the most sense too. So these ones both seem to just make sense from a Flame standpoint.
Yeah. And the Ball one is particularly interesting to me, because I think, as I said to him that day when he walked in, I said, like, we're not used to people signing here long-term. You know, obviously the organization's taken a bit of a beating recently in terms of guys opting not to sign here and want to, you know, happy to sign long-term elsewhere. Listen, I'm not sure it's symbolic of the tide turning, but I feel it is. And it was what Ball said in terms of his rationale behind wanting to be part of Calgary. He's living here this summer. He says, I've been out to the mountains. I can't believe how many great things there are to do and see in this city. He loves that his neighbors talk to him and they come out and talk to him. And he loves that he's got this little community that he's building. You know, he just had a baby a couple of weeks ago. You know, his partner loves it here. Like, everything about it speaks to a guy who just fully immersed himself in Calgary and loved every part of it. And that to me is really exciting. Like, right now, all those kids from development camp were on a bus heading up to the mountains to go and, you know, they went to the Stamps game last night, and today they're going up to the mountains to go see Lake Louise and Banff. And that's important. They want these kids to understand that this is a world-class destination in many people's eyes. But first and foremost, the word community kept coming out of Kevin Ball's mouth. And it really resonated with me, because when I moved here 30 years ago, that was the first thing that resonated with me. And I fell in love with this city instantly. And I knew 6 months later, I was never, ever leaving. And I'm not saying Ball's never, ever going to leave, but I am saying that this city is that great that when he felt just the love and the community and the and everything except for the weather, he fell in love with it too. And that really excites me. And you know, Coronado obviously feels the same way. And you know, I won't be surprised if you know Dustin Wolf's next deal is a very long term one because he loves it here. He feels grateful for the organization. He's living here in the summer. He's out there playing world class golf courses every day right now. He gets it too. And you know, again, this is a movement that we're not used to for a lot of years, and it's exciting if you're a Flames fan.
The last guy to sign then in terms of the high profile RFAs is Connor Zary, and I guess we see where that one goes. But as Vickers and I talked about last hour, just you know, that one's gonna get done. It's probably gonna be a short term. The bridge, just a 2 or 3 year bridge deal, just makes the most sense on the Zary side of things. It makes the most sense for the Flames. You know, they got to figure out a number on it, but it just feels like a bridge deal for Zary is what this is going to be when it's all said and done, because it just it seems to make sense on both sides. Zary wants to show a little bit more what he's all about, and of course the Flames, I don't think they've got a good read on exactly what they have in Zary. So again, similar to Frost, a bridge deal just seems to make the most sense.
Yeah, it's just such a shame that he basically, this was a lost season for him by, you know, basically with the two injuries. And it's just such a shame for him, but also for the organization, because look, they are potentially sitting on their future number two centerman, and which is one of the most coveted positions this organization's dying to find. But they also may be sitting on a guy who's nowhere near being that guy. This year, if he had played a full year and been as good as he was the year before, I think that would have answered some of the questions, and maybe both sides would have been more willing to deal with a longer-term deal. That would have been mutually beneficial, in my opinion. But because there are still so many unanswered questions on both ends, both sides are just like, yeah, let's just do a do-over, do a bridge deal, and move forward. And unfortunately, that's going to cost the organization potentially a lot of money long-term if he does develop into the center that they hope he will be, because his next contract in 3 years from now will be a whole lot pricier than they would have paid now. So that's unfortunate, but hey, that's the way it is. And I agree with you. It's a short term. I'm fascinated to see what the number is going to be though. That to me would be very fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't really quite have much of a read. If you were to throw one number out there, what number would you throw out?
$3 million.
Yeah, that's exactly the number I was thinking too. Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Two years, $3 million. That would be my best guess at this stage.
Yeah, $3 million each year. Yeah.
Just anyway, do me a favor and be safe, okay? Just be responsible. Nah, you know what? Yeah, you don't know. Stampede. It's like be responsibly irresponsible, okay?
Yeah, you know when you know I've got my daughter's back from university. She's got 5 girlfriends in from Western here to experience Stampede, and you want to tell them, you know, just make good decisions, but I don't know if that's applicable during Stampede. I don't know. Be safe is a better term. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Be safe. You be safe. I'll be safe. If you're listening, be safe. We'll curious what the Rasmus Anderson narrative looks like in a week's time, EF, when we talk again. For now, happy Stampede, brother. We'll do it again next week.
Yeah, we'll see you down at one of these tents real soon, my friend.
You sure will. Thanks, Eric. Eric Francis of Sportsnet.ca. The Eric Francis Hour starts to wrap up. Thanks to Taylor Dingman, Shan Virgie, our outstanding producers. My name is Pat Steinberg. The Eric Francis Hour and this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe with wireless keypad solutions so you can control access to your home wherever you are. For more information, visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.